This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you, and we're going to preview the Ned Bank Golf Challenge and the Mayakoba Golf Classic on this edition of the podcast. Dave Tindall joining me in the studio this week, which is good news. Always good to see you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, can we officially say we're on a roll?
I think so. It was... It was much needed going into the end of the season, as we commented on a couple of weeks ago. And Dave, you delivered last week, not by tipping a winner, but by tipping both winners in one of your these end of season tournaments often go to fancied players doubles.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, any time, was it 64-1 double, Rose and DeChambeau?
Yeah.
Any time you land one of those, you're happy. But I'm particularly sort of pleased because I'd slightly been harping on about doubles. It's not like just one week I thought, oh, I'd put a double up for a laugh. It was quite a strategy to, based on past sort of patterns of favourites going in at this time of year. So yeah, it was very pleasing to land one and be in the right players.
Very well done. Justin Rose beat Hao Tong Lee in a playoff. Lee missed short putts on 18 in regulation and then on the first playoff hole to gift wrap the event for Rose.
That's right. I mean, he hit a brilliant shot to 15. Did you see that when he sort of walked after it and had a tap in eagle?
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, shots of the year.
Shot of the week, undoubtedly. Yeah.
So that was fantastic. Slight confession, I was on Lee as well last week.
Oh, okay.
In a try and pay for not just Christmas, for everything ever. Disneyland, whatever, Vegas.
You're showing your mental age there by throwing Disneyland in.
Yes. I was on a double that would have paid me $21,000.
Okay.
Of Hao Tong Lee and Ryan Palmer. So at the time when Lee and Rose were fighting it out, I was sort of a bit conflicted, but kind of a bit more Lee, to be honest.
Okay.
Because last week he was my player who I don't want to win, if you remember, at 16s. Mm. So I had a think about that and I thought, well, I really fancy him, so I'll put him in a double. So I did him with Ryan Palmer. And as it happened, it didn't really matter. Although, funnily enough, Ryan Palmer nicked a place because Lucas Glover triple bogeyed the last in Vegas. Sometimes you bemoan your luck, but you've got to remember the ones that go your way, and that was one for me.
Lucas Glover, I don't know what he's going to do because that putter comes alive in his hands, and I'm sure many people will have seen it, but if you've not seen it, search Twitter for Lucas Glover putts, and he misses one from 18 inches, would you say, and it doesn't reach the hole.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, he shot 62 though, didn't he? It's like he can forget it for a round, but yeah, when the payday's really sort of in his eyes, then it's a bit wobbly.
What about Bryson DeChambeau? 5 wins in 16 months now. He's still maybe slightly underrated by the bookmakers, and I often find that I'm blinkered in my views with Bryson as well. But there's no doubting his incredible ability.
You're on first name terms with him?
Yeah, I don't know why I said Bryson there. DeChambeau.
Because he's got a double surname, hasn't he?
That's maybe why it is.
Bill Bryson. No relation.
Yeah, he's a spectacular player.
Yeah, well, he knows how to win, doesn't he? And that's something that's why. I mean, last week at the top end of that market, the kind of options for the double were Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth and him. And I basically picked him because he was winning at a level that justified 12-1.
Yeah.
Spieth's still talking away, saying he's solved everything and finishes 55th. Mm. So yeah, I can't touch Spieth at all, and that remains the case. Fowler did quite well, but he was coming back off a break. So yeah, DeChambeau, just a bit of a winning machine, isn't he?
Let's talk about this week, starting with the Nedbank Golf Challenge 2018, and Rory McIlroy in action this week. He's 15-2 clear market leader here with William Hill. Sergio Garcia is 9-1. Brandon Grace is 14-1. Hao Tong Li is 14-1. Louis Oosthuizen is 16-1. Lucas Biergaard is 20s. Shane Lowry 20-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick 22-1, and it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. And the tour, heading to South Africa before the season-ending DP World Tour Championship next week. But unfortunately, Dave, because Francesco Molinari has had such a scintillating season, he's pretty much sealed the race to Dubai, and we're not going to get the climax next week that the tour perhaps anticipated.
No, is it the top seven aren't playing this week? Which is a bit of a... That's not right. They'll have to rethink it, won't they, I think. You can't have the top seven not playing the penultimate event.
I think so, and it's... I did wonder whether Tommy Fleetwood might add this one into his schedule. I know he's played an awful lot of golf recently, but this is a golf course that suits him, has done in the past, and he's the one that could reel in Molinari looking to regain his crown. So maybe a slight surprise that Fleetwood's not in the... in the lineup this week, but they're playing so much golf at the moment.
They play so much. He won it. He's already won it last year. He's a new dad. It's all these factors. It's got to be done in the, through the prism of living a real life, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So you can see why. But yeah, it's a shame that I don't know what they do. Do they tweak the points so you get like mega points in these events?
I think that's what they've got to do, isn't it? And then have it like a FedEx Cup race.
Yeah, and then they'll overdo it and you'll see someone who's been rubbish all year and plays well, and then they'll say that's wrong. So it's always twicky I've said that, always tricky to get it right.
Yeah,
so yeah, a shame. We're still some good players playing this week. We'll just forget the race to Dubai, let's focus on winning this event.
Let's do that, and let's start by mentioning the golf course. The Gary Player Country Club hosts once again, and it's a bit of a monster in terms of yardage, measuring 7,831 yards and playing to a par of 72. The fairways are Kikuyu and the greens are bent grass. Long game must be in tip-top shape to compete around this golf course, and as you've highlighted in your piece for Roto World, Dave, the last five winners have ranked inside the top 15 for scrambling as well. So this is basically an all-round test. But if I was leaning to any particular category, it would be strokes gained tee to green. I think that's where that's most important in my mind.
Yeah, and I think as well, maybe that's become more important in recent years. We did see... I couldn't ever work out. You looked at the yardage and then you see people winning with 20 under and think, how have they done that? But the last couple of years, Brandon Grace won with minus 11 and Alex Noren won with minus 14, but he was the only player to finish in double digits under par that year. So that was a six-stroke win there. So second place was minus 8. So it's a tougher test. And I think you've got to be long and straight. Total driving or strokes going tee to green is a big thing, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've not got a selection this week for this event. I've got two in America.
Yeah.
I have had one bet in the event, but the price has collapsed subsequently to the point at which I can't recommend a bet at that particular price.
Can you reveal who that was?
Yeah, I can. It's Danny Willett, who I've backed at 40-1, and he's into 25-1 now to win the event, which is a shade on the short side, but he's been showing definite signs of improvement, Danny Willett.
Yes, well... kind of on a similar vein then, I have one pick.
Yep.
And it kind of links in because last week Danny Willett played well enough to book his place for next week in Dubai, and one other previous major winner did that as well, Martin Kaymer.
Oh, you like Martin Kaymer?
Yes.
This week, okay.
I think he's
33-1.
I think he's come alive a little bit now. He had to. He's never missed the Tour Championship, DP World Tour Championship, Martin Kaymer, and he was dawdling around at 70-odd until last week. So clearly that focused him, I think. And I think these courses are good for him at this time of year. So he was fifth in Turkey. I mean, before then, there's a lot of miscuts in his form. But if you sort of go back a bit, he was runner-up in Germany in the BMW International Open, eighth in the Italian Open. There's some highs when he's on. He does still, you know, deliver.
Yeah.
And, of course, this course at Gary Player Country Club, Martin Keimer won in 2012. It was a smaller field in those days, but even in the fuller 72 man field last year, was tied fifth. So I thought 33-1 was enough as an each way kind of price to get me involved on Martin Keimer, but I struggled to find much of a bet. But he's just one I think he might just kick on.
I think you put up made a good point as well in terms of incentive coming into this week, because I thought it was evident last week when, you know, those on-course interviews on Sky, Tim Barter grabs a player and he spoke to Danny Willett, and Willett spoke about how many of his fellow professionals were shutting it down for the season at this point, but Willett, because he'd had such a disappointing year, was practicing with more intensity and getting stronger as the season wore on. And obviously, Willett loves Sun City as well. You mentioned Keimer's win. Willett won this in 2014, followed that up with a fourth in 2015, 11th 2 years ago. And I think he plays well at altitude as well, which is another positive. Many people making the correlation with Cran-Sur-Sierre, host of the European Masters, and Willett's won there as well. So I think, Willett, with that opening show of 40-1, was definitely value, but down to 25s, not so much.
I think if you'd flip the prices and Willett was 33s and Keimer 25s, I'd go with Willett. Yeah. They're similar storylines, I think. Both fully aware of what they needed to do last week, and they did it. So I think this is a bit of a free hit for both of them. And it comes on a course where, I don't know if it's Marmite, but I think a lot of the field just don't get this course, and these two do.
Others I have to mention that came close for me. Eric Van Rooyen, tempted by it at 50-1. He's really impressed with his long game so far this season. We mentioned those tee to green stats being pivotal or key this week, and on those year-long stats on the European Tour, Van Rooyen ranks 16th in strokes gained off the tee and 22nd in strokes gained approach as well. Plenty of rounds there in there to provide good sample size. Just backed off a little bit in Turkey last week after a very good start, but I'd expect to see him higher up the leaderboard this week. And he played this event once a couple of years ago and finished 9th, which augurs very well. Obviously a South African, he's going to make his breakthrough on tour soon, so I thought he was interesting at 50s, Eric Van Rooyen.
Another South African I looked at was Darren Fitchart. A bit of a veteran, but loads and loads of course form here. He won, it has held the Dimension Data Pro-Am, and he's won that before, but in this event he was 6th last year, so he can, you know, cut it when the big boys come to town.
80-1 he is, by the way.
80-1, yeah, a little bit. I was hoping for three figures. I thought he played really well in Turkey last week, shot 368s and a 71 for tied 23rd. I just think on home soil, because it is different grass, isn't it, the Zoysia grass, and I think the South Africans normally have a bit of a leg up if they're in form. And I thought he's one who's very proven on this course, so I thought he could go well.
One of the guys that I picked at 125 last week, Matthias Schwab, he showed up on the leaderboard on Sunday momentarily, and I thought maybe a backdoor place at one moment, but dropped away after that. He's 90-1 this week. I think this golf course will suit him. And at the top end of the market, just before we speak about McIlroy and Garcia and their chances, Andy Sullivan loves this place, and if you look through those European Tour stats, he's just a fantastic driver of the golf ball. Sullivan, I thought he'd go well at 28-1. He was the one towards the top end of the market that tempted me most away from Willett.
Okay, yeah, I can say that, yeah.
Any others you want to mention?
Well, we'll move on to them, shall we? Garcia and McIlroy. Obviously,
one do you prefer at those prices?
Garcia.
Do you?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what Rory's doing at the minute. How can he finish outside the top 50 in China when he
owns that golf course? He can, owns it without winning.
He can finish 6th in his sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is he sort of lacking a bit of incentive now? What can he...
I'm not sure what's going on with McIlroy. Yeah. But this is a golf course that should be tailor-made for him.
But then last week's... Well, in China, it should have been tailor-made. Yeah. So I've lost some trust in him for now, to be backing him at 15-2. I mean, he could be playing... He could be in the form of his life, and he might be 9-2 or 11-2, and I'd rather back that, but he's just... You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But Garcia, continuing the theme of doubles, he's going to be part of a double for me this week. Yeah.
back-to-back winning doubles. Yeah. That would be impressive.
Clearly, the Ryder Cup has had a huge effect on him, hasn't it? To get back in that environment, play so well, be a hero, get the record for number of points.
Yeah,
absolutely loved it. Went to Valderrama, which is a course where he absolutely loves, and looked the winner after about 5 minutes there. Mm. Went on to win, and if you look at his record, he can win back to back. We've seen him do that before. In Spain, actually, won the Castelo and the Andalusia Masters back-to-back. So he's someone, when he's hot and his confidence is flowing, that's always a big thing with him. He can play well, and he's got the course form. If you think about this track, it should suit him, shouldn't it? Long and straight.
Definitely.
Absolutely. A Sergio Garcia type of course. So I think he's quite easy to put up at 9-1. Runner-up the last time he played it, 2013. Twice a winner here in its 12-man days. People forget that. It's just worth looking at when you're checking old form. If you see someone's finished 10th, well, if it was out of 12, it's not as good as it, really. So it was all that form pre-2012, I think it was.
Yes.
It is in a 12-man field. But still, to win twice in a 12, they weren't just 12 locals,
still
were they?
Form, it was,
they were top-class yeah. players. So twice a course winner. Runner-up the last time he played it, in fantastic form at the minute. I think he's worthy of a single at 9-1, but I'm going to put him in as a double.
Okay, so just one selection
just
there
Keimer,
in terms of the outright, just Keimer. And I do like Willett, but not at the price now. Let's move on then. Let's talk about the other event this week, the Mayakoba Golf Classic. And Ricky Fowler heads the betting at 8-1. Jordan Spieth is 12-1 along with Tony Finau. Gary Woodland is 16s. Emiliano Grillo is 20-1. Aaron Wise is 25s. Billy Horschel 28s. Cameron Champ 28s. Luke List 28s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest of them. And the PGA Tour heading south to Mexico for this championship. And this is an event that has yielded low scores in recent times. Patton Kizzire won with a total of 19 under par last year. And the year before that, Pat Perez equaled the tournament scoring record by shooting 21 under over the four rounds. El Camaleon is the host course. And it's a ball striker's haven, this one, Dave. And it's a rare stop that gives an equal opportunity to the shorter hitters, a par 71 measuring under 7,000 yards, which is very unusual. And given we've seen Fred Funk, Brian Gay and Mark Wilson, and more recently Graham McDowell, win this event at this course, it highlights the fact that this is a golf course that doesn't discriminate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an enjoyable trip as well. It's a nice kind of resort area. So, yeah, I think you've got a kind of wide scope to look at this week. You don't have to just think, right, let's find a bomber who can putt well. You can have a look at some of the guys who get frozen out some weeks.
Are there any specific stats or angles that you're leaning on?
There's some correlation form with other courses. I think Hilton Head is kind of a blustery seaside track.
Yeah.
I like that. And it's got a different kind of grass this week. You're better at saying these than me. Paspalum.
Yeah, that's it, I think. Yeah, Paspalum.
Paspalum.
Yeah,
which is kind of, if you talk to the players or listen to them, they'll say it's similar to Bermuda, but it's a sort of seaside grass. But I like the angle. If you play well, windy seaside track, you've got this, you've got the correlation with Hilton Head, you've got the Puerto Rico Open as well, a few others, as Sony Open.
Yeah.
So there's a few you can cross, kind of fertilise the form. And I've gone for someone who absolutely should have won at Hilton Head this year, and I'm still furious that he didn't.
I think we all know who Dave is talking about. Your first selection, 33-1.
Siwoo Kim. Yes. How he didn't win that, I'll never know. But
he did hit it to 8 feet on about 12 consecutive holes.
So he played some great stuff. And obviously, this is a guy who's won the Players' Championship.
Yeah.
He can't not win for long. He's won the Wyndham and the Players' Championship. And he's only about 22, isn't he, or something like that. So
I think you forget how young Siwoo Kim is.
Yes, so you're just looking for evidence that he might go in again. And I think this is a great week for him. Last three events then, since this new season started, 10th in the CIMB Classic, 23rd in the CJ Cup, and then 15th in Vegas last week, shot 69, 66 on the weekend. great form, and he's coming to a course that he's played twice. On debut in 2015, he was tied 17th with a second round 64, and he returned last year to finish third. So I think this is absolutely up his street, this course.
Yeah.
And I think we're maybe joint best price at 33. So I feared a 25-1 type thing.
Yeah.
33 is absolutely.
Okay, 33-1. Confident selection for Dave Siwoo Kim. I neglected to ask you whether you had 2, 3, 4, 5 selections here. How many have you got?
He's my only pick.
Oh, he's your only pick, is he?
But I've got obviously the other leg of the double.
You have. Okay, I'll give you my first selection, and I've got 2 picks. I'm going with Joaquin Niemann as my first pick here. I quite fancy him best bet of the week in my mind. I don't think it's that much of a surprise that the last two winners, Kizaya and Perez, Perez.
Robert Perez.
had performed well in the Shriners the week before this event. And since this event moved to its slot in November and has been played in softer conditions, scoring has been lower, which gives it a pretty similar dynamic to last week in Vegas in terms of the fact that you've got to find greens and make plenty of birdies. And Niemann did that last week, despite ranking a lowly 62nd in strokes gained putting. Fourth in strokes gained tee to green in Vegas, drove the ball brilliantly. I think if he does that this week, he's going to give himself loads of birdie opportunities. And he has won an amateur title in Mexico in the past as well. So these conditions should hold no fears for Niemann. And I think 40-1 is fair. So I'm playing him a point and a half each way.
Actually, you know when I said I've only got one pick?
Yes.
We've pushed someone out now to a level where I can now pick him. Adam Hadwin.
Oh, right. He's your second selection.
Yeah, we did have him at 40s.
Right, okay.
But now he's 50s.
Right.
And that's kind of pulled the trigger on him. I wondered if you might pick him. You like him, don't you? You've put him
I do
up
like
before.
Him. Yeah.
As a good ball striker. Look, check out his record in Mexico. Very, very good in sort of various formats. Started with a third place on the web.com in the Mexico Championship. Finished 10th in this event on his last start there, 2016. Then he was 9th in the WGC event in Mexico. For some reason, maybe that feeling he's a Canadian, likes, you know, crossing a different border.
Yep.
Feels that kind of outsider mentality, maybe. So he's someone who, I think with him, we'd got used to him as a top 50 player, just kind of on that cusp, and he was getting into the big events. He's just slipped outside, but without doing an awful lot wrong. You look at his last 6 starts, he's got 4 top 25s in there.
Yeah.
Going back to the playoffs. Last 2 starts, 10th in the CJ Cup, 30th in the HSBC Champion. So I think if you get him on the right course, I think Adam Hadwin could go well again soon. And he definitely, you see interviews again, he wants to get back in that world's top 50. Mm. And I think he might be looking at this week's field and thinking this is a really good chance on a course that I've done well on and in a country I've done well in.
That's been a big factor actually in this event, weirdly. I don't know if you've read Golf Betting System, Steve Bamford, who's been on this podcast before, and Paul Williams. Golf Betting System
and stuff.
They talked about how a lot of the winners here have just been on the outside looking into that top 50 in recent times, and maybe looking to break into that top 50 for next season's events. Yeah. And that's been a huge factor in the past.
Yeah, well, that's a nice sort of angle, then, isn't it, with Hadwin? I think at 50s I can get involved, definitely.
Okay, so you've got 2 picks now, Siwoo Kim and Adam Hadwin, 33s and 50s respectively. I'm going for a player at 50-1 as well as my second selection. JJ Spawn is my next pick at 50-1. And I think if there's one week to back him, it's this week, basically. Because even though 50s is maybe slightly on the skinny side, I've had a small bet. His iron play was exemplary en route to a tie for 15th last week. He led the field, actually, in strokes gained approach. That was on the back of the 10th place finish in the CJ Cup. So he's clearly in fantastic heart at the moment. And he's had 2 goes at this track, which have yielded finishes of 28th and last year 14th. By no means is he one of the longest hitters on tour, Spawn, so this player suits him, as evidenced by those results. And he loves putting on these grainy greens as well, Spawn, so I'm just having a small bet at 50-1, and I think he could run a big race.
Yeah.
So he's my second pick. I thought you'd have been on Abraham Anser.
Well, I would have been had he been not 33. So I'm a big fan of his. I mentioned him last week and he ran into another place, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think we had him quite short last week. Mm. Obviously, Mexican playing in front of his home fans, could he find that too much? Well, he was tied ninth last year, and I read a few sort of articles about him when he came on tour, and the common thread was his mental strength.
Okay.
It wasn't the fact, oh, he's a great ball. They kept saying his mental strength, that's what pushed him to the next level. So I think he can cope with all the added expectation this week.
Was that kind of a backdoor ninth place finish, wasn't it, last year? I think he kind of moved up the field.
Yeah, and the year
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, it got better as the week went on. Right, sort of, yeah. You know, if you're doing the old time form, nearest the finish kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the previous year he'd started with a 65. He was fifth at halfway, so he can sort of marry them up. I think this is a course where he's got some really good numbers on. Mm. And then I don't know why. Finally, maybe it's taken the fact that we're in Mexico for sort of the layers to realise these should be a shortish price, because too often he's still this young kid. But there's a lot of top fives and sixes he gets.
Yeah.
So just with that added, I'm hoping, yeah, he can be totally thrilled and inspired and everything this week, but 33s is just
yeah,
cut me off, really.
Yeah, yeah, I do get that.
Last week he was 80s, and yeah, it's hard to go down to 33s.
That might be Anser finally tipping his hat last week. Do you think that might be like the
finally,
bookmaker's
we'll
coffee?
We'll see. A couple of miscuts and he might drift right back out. But.
Any others you want to mention just before we get to the second leg of your double further down the list? I liked CT Pan.
Yes.
I mean, he's had a couple of down the field finishes here. He's 50-1. I'm really surprised his results haven't been a little bit better, because this is such a nice fit for Pan. Really striking the ball well at the moment, accurate from tee to green. That will stand him in good stead. I think he'll have a big week, CT Pan.
Yeah, you actually asked me this on Facebook and I didn't reply for some reason. About Anders Albertsson. Yeah. I think it's because you called him Albert Albertsson.
I did correct myself, though.
I was appalled. I wouldn't answer your question.
He should be called Albert Albertsson.
Yeah, so I think because I tipped him in the Sanderson Farm, so yeah, like Anders Sanders, it was all his name.
He played well again, didn't he, last week?
Yeah, he wasn't really doing anything, and then he finished, top 15 in the end? Yeah. So I've got a feeling that he might just run hot throughout these little four series events. Mm. We've got him in at 66s, not far away from pulling the trigger with that one.
Yeah,
I can see another big week. I can see why his game, he's got a really good, strong all-round game. I can see him going well.
And now the moment we've all been waiting for then, the second leg of the each-way double.
Yeah, so you're basically probably looking at three players: Fowler, Spieth or Finau. Can you guess which one?
It would be Finau, won't it?
Yeah. Very easy to argue, well, he's only won once ever. But, I mean, he's so good at the moment. His form is just sensational. It's got to come, hasn't it? It's got to come.
Oh, I think soon. He will, yeah. And I don't buy into this the man is not a closer theory and he will only win a couple of times on tour. I think he's going to win a major championship.
Yeah, yeah. So, runner-up at the HSBC Champions, I mean, that he didn't do anything wrong, did he? That was just, he got done in a playoff, and it could so easily have won there. Runner-up at the Northern Trust, and then just great form all the way through. He's got two visits here and shot a seventh in one of them.
Yeah.
I mentioned before Puerto Rico was the correlating course. Well, he won there. Mm. So, a windy track that Finau can just get hold of. He's good at everything. It's, you know, he obviously smashes it a mile, but he's got all the other elements to his game. I think 12-1 is much better than a kind of labouring Jordan Spieth, and Fowler isn't an 8-1 shot. I just think Finau is going to win soon. This is the door is wide open here, Dave. So Finau and Garcia is my double.
Okay, Tony Finau at 12-1 and Sergio Garcia at 8-1
9-1.
Sorry, I nearly
double
did you out of a point there.
Yeah. That double is 129-1.
That's the each way double for this week.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're just about wrapped up here then. Let's recap the selections. Who's the player you don't want to win?
Yeah, this is normally, I should now back them, shouldn't I?
Yeah, probably.
Well, yours will be Danny Willett, surely.
Yeah, but I have had a little bet on Danny Willett. Right. So I think for full transparency and honesty here, it'd be Eric Van Rooyen, because I've not backed him.
Right.
50-1, and he probably came closest from the list of players that I've been to on this podcast.
Yeah, for me, Abraham Anser.
Yeah. Yeah, because the price is just a little bit too tight.
Off. Yeah.
Okay, recap the selections then. Dave, starting with your pick in the Ned Bank.
In the Ned Bank, it's a slightly... it's not full confidence on Martin Keimer, but it's one I think he could really go well against. So it's half a point each way, Martin Keimer at 33s.
Okay, no bet for me in the Ned Bank Golf Challenge.
Yeah. And then at Mayakoba, I will have a point each way, Siwoo Kim at 33s.
Yeah.
And a point each way, Adam Hadwin at 50s.
I'm going a point and a half each way, Joaquin Neiman at 40-1. And a point each way on JJ Spawn at 50s.
Yeah.
And then each way double?
And then the each way double, which isn't going to be a regular feature.
No.
It's very much for this kind of year.
These end of season events,
yes,
isn't it?
I will go for Tony Finau at 12s and Sergio Garcia at 9s. That pays 129-1. I'm happy to have a point each way on that at 129-1.
Very good. Thank you for your company again, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us both on Twitter if you want to, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's available to download at audioboom.com, and make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app as well. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week with William Hill, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.